Check. Are we on? We are on. Can we just a little bit scoot up a little, maybe a little bit scoot up and be closer together? I just love it. It's just kind of funny. I think it's because like we like the armrest or something. So it's kind of funny, like all of us line up on the side and we like to lean and all. Let's lean on each other. Don, I see you. I'm coming right over there when I'm done. Why don't we stand together, Lord, in the stillness of this moment? We acknowledge that you are God, and there is none like you. You are the maker of the heavens and the earth. You have formed us, Lord. You know our names. You know the number of hairs on our head. You are our God. And we are your sheep, your people, your children, to give you glory and honor. As of your sacrifice, because of your grace, we are clothed in your righteousness. It is not by anything that we have done, Lord. It is by what you did on the cross. As we cast our cares at your feet, that we would enter in and worship you. Oh, to the fragrance of indescribable, uncontainable, you place the stars in the sky, and you know all powerful, untamable, awestruck, we fall to our knees as we humbly source to it that conceals it to bring us the cool. Indescribable, uncontainable, you place the stars in the sky and you know them all powerful. Untamable, awestruck, we fall to our knees as we humbly probe. Incomparable, unchangeable, unchangeable, you see the depths of my powerful, untamable, all powerful. Untamable, awestruck, we fall to, awestruck, we fall to, God of glory. God of everything you've done is just and true. Oh, everything you've done is just and true. Oh, stand together, sing, holy is your name. And holy is your name. Your righteousness, we boldly approach the throne of grace. Would speak to us, that you would make yourself known, that your word would go forth and penetrate our hearts, Lord, that we might be holy vessels.
Ladies, you can go ahead and have a seat. How's everyone doing? Good. Are you warming up in here? Yeah? Okay. Well, before we get into our Bible study, I have a couple of things for, one is an update and one is a prayer request this evening. The first one, it's so sweet. For those of you that went to the Christmas luncheon, I had mentioned there about a phone call I got that very morning from a gal in our body, and it was a friend of hers. Her daughter was in the hospital in a coma and not doing well, and I've been asked a few times for an update, so I got a hold of Jewel and found out about that. And the girl, her name is Elizabeth, she is out of the coma, but there's a lot of still complications, and she's in some therapy, and so we need to just keep her lifted up in prayer. So those of you who were praying, thank you very much, and they really appreciate that. And also for this one just came in, a gal named Toni, and I cannot remember her last name right now. If you know the Wynn family, it's Morgan Wynn's grandma. And she was having headaches for a couple of weeks, really painful headaches. They did an MRI and actually discovered two aneurysms in her brain. rushed her today over to emergency for surgery, and I don't know how that's gone. So I just want to lift her up. Father, we lift up Tony to you. And Father, we know that your presence and your hand is upon her, and the family, as they know you and their hope is in you. We just lift her up to you, Lord. We don't even know if she's out of surgery yet, but Lord, may your will be done. And Lord, may you just comfort that family and wrap your arms of grace around them in dealing with this storm of life. And Lord, I pray that it would all just be used for your glory. And we just lift her up to you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in last week's Bible study, we were challenged to remember that we are the bride of Christ. And though we have not yet seen him, yet we love him. And remember, he talked about, and because of that hope that we have and believing, that we rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. And it's the living hope that compels us to walk in holiness, being that bride without blemish, waiting for the day when we will see him face to face. And so I want to pick up with you in 1 Peter chapter 1, and I left off on verse 22, and we're going to pick up there this week. Let's read it together. It says, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you." Love one another fervently with a pure heart. In other words, since you are born again by believing God's word, there's to be this newness of life evident, a new way of thinking. We've had a new beginning. So there's this newness that should be about our lives. And the number one proof and priority in your life and in my life is love. Jesus commanded us in John 15:12. He said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Now, the word love sounds so poetic and touchy-feely, doesn't it? I was in Walmart today, this afternoon, picking up a few things, and it's, you know, Valentine's is coming. And so I went down the rows of all the Valentine's stuff, and, you know, everything's hearts, and I was reading through cards, trying to find the right one for my love, which I didn't find it at Walmart, so I have to go somewhere else. Probably needs to be a Hallmark card. Do they sell Hallmark at Walmart? Oh, they do. Okay. And the 99-cent store. We don't want them to know that. But you're right, there's good cards there. So I'm going up and down, but just, you know, love is everywhere. And even the candy, everything's in the shape of the hearts. And, you know, we are really good at star, but we're also good at saying we love our pets and we love our ice cream and many other things that we love. But actually walking in love is so different than saying we love, especially loving with the kind of love that Jesus is talking about, that's sacrificial. Jesus speaks of that in John 15:13, that we'd be willing to lay down our life for our friend. Or how about 1 Corinthians 13, the chapter on love, that love hopes all things, believes all things, endures all things. Ouch, that's a hard one. Or how about Matthew 5:44, that tells us that we're not only to love our friends, but we're to love our enemies. And to top it all off, Peter here is saying that it needs to be a pure love. In other words, that means from the heart, with the right motives and the right attitude, not just going through the actions, but actually living it in truth. And that is not easy, and it's certainly not romantic. Amanda, my 11-year-old, was sick last week with a cold, and she'd been home for a couple days, and she's really getting bored and whiny, you know how that goes. And so I decided to take her for fast food and pick up a couple movies. So we pulled into Taco Bell, Kentucky Fried Chicken, there off of College. And I'm trying to give my order. And you know what? I just don't like intercoms. I don't know how many of you get frustrated with intercoms, but it just became such an ordeal trying to understand one another and trying to get my order, and it kept getting messed up. And I asked a specific question, and the girl didn't know the answer, so she says, "I'll be right back," and then was gone for a while. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, I don't know what comes over me. Strange things happen to me when I'm in my car. I think it's because I drive a big one, and so I just feel empowered. But I behave in ways that I normally don't. Okay, I'm confession time, and I'm trying to communicate with this person over the intercom, and by the time it was over, I was so agitated that I literally like let out a growl, if you can believe it. It was just like, I was just like, and abruptly ended the conversation and pulled forward, and I'm all like all stressed out, and Amanda just turns to me, my 11-year-old. She's like, "Wow, Mom, what a loving Christian you are." Okay, totally convicted. Don't you hate it when your kids are right? So I'm like, and I'm trying to give her all my excuses, and finally I'm like, "Okay, I'm gonna make it up by being nice when I get to the window." And she's like, "Oh, that'll go over really good." She's like, "Yeah, the crazy woman that's crawling through that, and then you're gonna go to the window." This she really said this, and then you're gonna go up to the window and say, "God bless you." Now we both busted up laughing, but I got the point. And as we pulled away, it brought to remembrance our Bible study that says, "Since you have purified your souls, love one another fervently with a pure heart." And I always get tested on what I'm teaching. So let's move on to chapter 2. Says, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking." I like the New Living Translation. I'll read it to you. It says, "So get rid of all malicious behavior and deceit. Don't just pretend to be good. Be done with hypocrisy and jealousy and backstabbing." And did you notice the word "all" that was in this verse? In other words, we can't just lay aside a portion of the sin, or just love certain people, or love in certain circumstances. Not if we want to grow up spiritually and grow down deeply. And that is the challenge that Peter sets before us here in chapter 2. So in the remainder of this chapter, Peter, he paints three powerful pictures for us. Number one, we're going to see what we are to be as, and number two, what the effect will be. Okay, so we'll break it down into those three pictures. So verse 2, let's read that together. It says, "As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious." I was born again at the age of 10, and over the next few years of my young teenage life, I had a relationship with the Lord. I loved going to church. I loved youth group. I loved reading my Bible. But then our family began changing churches, and we kind of were hopping back and forth and all these different experiences. And I really wasn't plugged in the pivotal years of my teen. And although I kept walking with the Lord and truly see just his grace all over my life and protecting me and covering me, it was more challenging, and I did struggle in my walk. But from a young age, I really felt the Lord had a calling on my life. And it wasn't until my senior year at high school that I was introduced to Calvary Chapel in Grants Pass, Oregon. And I loved the verse-by-verse teaching of the Word of God. I remember just being like amazed by it. I just could not get enough of it and was so excited for it. And told my parents about it and how they had to come and check it out. And for graduation, I asked for a study Bible. So I got my first New King James study Bible. And it was at that time, after I graduated, that the pastor at that Calvary Chapel really encouraged the young people to go to Bible college. And so at 18, I left home of September of 1984 and headed to Twin Peaks, California. And that's when really, I believe, just the great adventure of my walk in life with the Lord began. But what's really neat is when I arrived there and got registered, with all the packet and the stuff they gave us, inserted in each one was a specific verse. And they said, you've been prayed over. All the new students have been prayed over, and you have a verse. And so guess what my verse was? It was this. It was, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And when I opened it up and read it, I believed that that was a spoken word for me, and I just latched onto that and took hold of it and acted upon it and really, truly gulped down the word of God. You know, don't you love like a newborn infant, and when they're really, really hungry and they're crying for mommy, and you get near and they just smell you as you get near, and you're trying to get ready, and if you've nursed and get them ready to latch, and they kind of right before it's time, it's like their little heads are just shaking, and they're just like, right? You know that, huh? It's the cutest little thing. And then they get latched on, and it's just like gulp, 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 gulp. I mean, there's nothing cuter in all the world. Well, that's the picture that the Lord is saying through Peter here. That's to be our hearts and our lives, that we are so hungry and thirsty for the word of God. And so this verse tonight is a word for you. You see, God's word has life, and it gives life, and it nourishes life. So we need to have an appetite for the word, just like the hungry newborn babies, desiring that it be pure, undefiled, unadulterated. In other words, nothing added and nothing taken away. And you know, that is the heart of Pastor Rob here. And it's the heart of all of us that teach from the pulpit, is that you will be taught the whole word of God, that you will become whole people in the body of Christ. And you know, if you're in a place where maybe you don't have, you know, such a strong desire for the word right now, we go through those seasons sometimes. You know, where it's just a struggle. We lack that appetite for it, and we struggle to sit down and get in the Word. And the challenge that I would give to you in that is to go to the Lord and really examine, you know, well, maybe have I ruined my appetite by maybe, you know, nibbling on other things? You know, my kids do that after school. They get home kind of late because of after school events, and it's so close to dinner time, and they race to that cupboard and want that snack, and I'm like, just hang on, it's almost dinner time. But I can't really get on them because my husband does that. I literally will have it like out ready to go, and he goes and has some kind of, if there's a sweet in the house, he goes for the sweet first. It drives me crazy, but we have to ask ourselves, because a lot of times that is the reason. We've kind of spoiled our appetite with other things, and they don't always have to be, you know, sin or things that pull us away, some that are necessarily bad. Sometimes it's, you know, I've done it before where I'm nibbling so much on, you know, an awesome, amazing book, you know, that's godly and, you know, amazing. I see smiles, but it's like Bible, book, you know, and so it spoils that appetite. And so I think tonight we just need to say, oh, if you're struggling in that area, cry out to him. Lord, I want to desire the pure milk of your word and just be longing for it like the deer pants for the water. And he's faithful to do that. So let's move on, verses 4 through 10. The second picture and exhortation from Peter is that as living stones, being built up a spiritual house, that we come to him and offer spiritual sacrifices. Let's read verse 4 through 10. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. But you, You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So again, the second picture he paints here is that be as living stones, being built up as a spiritual house, coming to him to offer up spiritual sacrifices. You know, this was a radical truth for the new believers in that time, for the Jews, because they only identified God's presence and everything spiritual with the temple of God, with that physical structure. That's what housed the very presence of God. God referred to it as his dwelling place. Jesus called it his Father's house. And they had to travel to the temple in order to draw near, to bring sacrifices, to cover their sin, to worship the Lord. But the radical thing with that is they never could fully enter in, could they? They could go to the temple, but they couldn't go into the temple, into the very presence of God, the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest could do that. There was not access for the Jews. But now, through Jesus and what he had accomplished, there was a new way. There was a better way. And it was just so profound. I mean, picture that. If we lived in that day and time where all they ever knew was a physical structure, a temple, and now all of a sudden there's a new covenant, there's a better way. And it's spoken of in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6. It says, "But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises." You see, as Jesus hung on the cross and died for our sins, he said, "It is finished." And when he did that, it tells us in the word that in the temple, that veil, that thick, huge veil that separated man from the Holy of Holies, it was rent in two. And it was a picture, it was a statement, a truth, an access to the living God. You don't have to go through a priest. You're not to go through man anymore. You can come straight in boldly to the throne of grace. That is amazing. Can I get an amen? I mean, that just is amazing. Amazing. That we can now have a living, personal, intimate relationship with the Father of the universe. We can go to him at any time. This was huge. And now, the believers were understanding and realizing that they had this living relationship with the Father. And now his Holy Spirit lived inside each and every one of the believers. And so they were becoming living stones. Each one of us also were a stone in the household of God. There's a quote that says, "Each time someone trusts Christ, another stone is quarried out of the pit of sin and cemented by grace into the house of God." I like that. This spiritual house, it's not made of perishable material, but made up of redeemed souls, far more precious than any stone. And it's built on the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ, who said in Matthew 16, 18, "Upon this rock I will build my church." What a privilege you and I have to be a part of a spiritual habitation of God. It's a beautiful picture. But with this privilege, with this access comes responsibility. And herein lies Peter's exhortation for you and I as believers, that we not only make up the church, but we are to serve in the church. We're told that we are a priesthood, a holy priesthood, and that we're to be about ministering unto the Lord. A holy priesthood. There's that word again, holy. We're going to see that a lot in 1st and 2nd Peter. Remember in the last chapter, we were exhorted, "As he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct." You know, holiness is a true mark of a born-again follower of Jesus Christ, nourished by the word, not meaning we're perfect. We know that. None of us are. We're not without sin. But what it means is there's that powerful desire to be Christ-like. There's that craving for holiness, to be like him, to be whole, to be Christ-like. And the word actually describes holiness as being something beautiful. And I loved tonight that the Lord impressed Jamie to sing that song about the holiness of God and that it's beautiful. We're told to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. You know, as women, we desire beauty. We just do. But you know, this world's beauty, it's fading. It's not real. It's not lasting. But true beauty is holiness. You know, when you see someone, it doesn't matter. They could be 99. But a godly woman that's holy and pure, oh, she's beautiful. She just radiates. There's just something that just draws you to that person. We want that in our lives. We want holiness. Holiness purifies us and makes us beautiful. As a holy priesthood, we're told here to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. Well, what exactly does that mean? Well, I'm going to name a few. Your Bible study covered this a little bit too. We don't have time to go into it all in detail, but let's look at four spiritual sacrifices that we can offer up to God that would be acceptable. The first one, you already saw in your Bible study, Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So number one, we can offer up our body, our mind, our will, basically all of us. And that is our reasonable service, because he paid the price for us. We belong to him. And so as his children, that is the greatest offering that we can give him. We're also told in Hebrews 13:15 that we can offer up our praise. It says, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to him. We need to be women that the fruit of our lips is thanksgiving, just proclaiming his goodness, his faithfulness, what he's done. That should be just a part of our lives continually, and it's a sacrifice unto the Lord. A third one would be our resources. We're told this in the following verse of Hebrews 13. It says, but do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. There's another portion of scripture where Paul wrote back to the church in Philippi when he'd been put in prison for sharing the gospel, and I'm going to read it to you. It's just jot this down, Philippians chapter 4, verses 15 through 19. And he says, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound, and I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things you sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And it just reminded me of when Debbie got up here last week and, you know, put out the word. She's going to Russia to do, you know, ministry over there. And here's some of the needs, the necessities, and just how the body responds. So I just love that. And she had more than enough. It was just amazing. It wasn't just Calvary Vista. There were other churches that came forward, and she was able to go over and just bless these women in such a radical way. And how, you know, a lot of you picked up a little picture of a Russian woman and you're praying for them. That's offering spiritual sacrifice unto the Lord. And it's sweet smelling. And it's well-pleasing to God. And lastly, we can offer our heart, our love. In Mark chapter 12, verse 33, a man that came to Jesus and was asking him how to get into the kingdom of heaven, in that conversation he says, and to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength. And to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And the Lord said yes, that he understood. So another sacrifice, an offering that we can give to the Lord is obviously our heart and our love. So in other words, offering all of ourselves to God, that is your full-time ministry. So if you didn't think you were in full-time ministry, you are in full-time ministry. And that's exciting to just be that sacrifice that's going to please him in all that you do with Jesus as the chief cornerstone of your life. You know, there's a lot of people in the church today claiming to be Christians, but tragically, many are not true members of his church. They are not born again into the family of God by believing and receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. He's not Lord of their lives. They've not surrendered their life and their heart over to him. They might say they believe, but they have not surrendered. He's not their cornerstone. He may be a piece of their life, you know, the religious part of them, but he's not Lord. And Jesus' response to those people is heavy. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom she is like. She's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Now everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish woman who built her house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it fell, and great was its fall." And maybe there might be someone in the room tonight that maybe that is you. You know that you tonight there's an invitation for you to come to him, to come to the living stone. He's inviting you. And you can come even tonight and just ask forgiveness of your sin and ask him to come in to your heart. And he will bring you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And for the Christian here tonight, I think the challenge once again that we're going to see over and over and we need to be challenged is, do we live what we believe? Do we live what we believe? Are our lives a ministry to God, acceptable and pleasing and glorifying him? Last night, Jamie and I briefly sat down with a man of my 11-year-old, and there's this new little show on called Grease. You're the one I want. Okay, how many of you have watched that? A little bit of it? Okay. It's more for the teeny boppers. But basically, they want to redo Grease on Broadway. And so they're having these tryouts. And so we sat down. Oh, this is cute. You know, we're watching these kids sing. But what was interesting is they would do like a little video, pre-video of their kind of who they are and where they're from. And there's this one girl, and she totally said that she's a Christian. It taped her at her church with the body there, and actually her on stage, and she says to the whole nation that she's a worship leader. And we're like, yay, we're all excited, like, wow, you know, someone representing the Lord. Well, then she goes to sing her song, and it's this song that has, like, swearing in it, like, over and over. And Jamie and I and Amanda, we were dumbfounded. We didn't even know how to understand, you know? I mean, I just don't get that. I don't get that. We need to bring glory to God. Our actions have to match our words and what we say, because the world is watching and they need to see something different. So we are to be as newborn babes, and we're to be as living stones. And lastly, we're to be as sojourners and pilgrims in this world. Let's look at verse 11 through 25. "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using your liberty as a cloak for vice, but as servants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer for it, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return, and when he suffered he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. By those stripes, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This world is not our home. We can't pattern our lives and our attitudes and our mindset and convictions by the world. It needs to be by the example of Jesus Christ, which means that we need to look different. I want you to also take note that this exhortation toward godly behavior and actions, it's not just toward unbelievers that are out there that we want to shine and be a witness for, but it's to be lived out amongst one another in the family of God. And sometimes that seems to be the most challenging place to fervently. I think it's because we expect more from one another. I mean, we know the truth. We have the Holy Spirit. We should just behave rightly. We should just do it right every time. And that is our desire, but we don't, do we? We mess up. When someone disappoints us or offends us or responds in the flesh, our impulse is to respond back in the flesh, or to be slow to forgive and become hardened, or want to pull away or leave, you know, and just not deal with the person. But that is not the plan of God. He says that he fit us together as a spiritual house. We're just stuck together, those building blocks. You know, we can't get up and not deal with the body of Christ. The truth is, there's this continuous battle taking place between our flesh and our spirit. We all experience it. And that battle is really not with people around us, but it's with the, understand that. The battle is really not about the people around us. It's about the passions within us. Our flesh wars against our spirit. D.L. Moody once said, "I have more trouble with D.L. Moody than with any other man I know." Boy, we can relate to that. If we yield to the sinful appetites, then we will start living like the unsaved world around us, and then we are not effective. So Peter begs us to abstain from those fleshly lusts which war against the soul. He begs, and I really believe if we could stand here today in the church in the time that we live, it would be with the same passion, that same driving force, that same begging. The word translated war here, where the flesh lusts, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, that word translated war carries the idea of a military campaign. So in other words, we do not win one battle and then the war is over. It is a constant warfare and we must be on guard. But the great news is that Jesus is the victor and he's got the battle strategy. And what's the battle strategy? To walk in the Spirit. It's just straight up. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Ladies, do you see yourself as sojourners and pilgrims on this earth, understanding that all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And the world's passing away, and the lust of it. But she who does the will of God abides forever. Let's pray. Father, thank you once again for your word that's living and powerful, and it's convicting, and it's edifying. And Lord, we want to take that in, we want to soak it in, and just allow your spirit to speak and do a work. Father, your word says that blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness filled. So Lord, give us a deeper passion and desire for your word. Bring nourishment that we might grow. We want to grow. Father, you say that we are now the temple of the living God. So help us to be built up into living stones that glorify your name. Thank you that we're a part of your spiritual house. And Lord, may our lives be marked by holiness, that we would just be beautiful women, glorifying you, pleasing you. And Father, you tell us in your word that we are to follow Christ's steps. He is our example. He's gone before us. And so, Lord, what you command from us, you also enable us to do. And so we ask by the power of your Spirit that you would help us to walk in the Spirit, to choose life, take hold of all, Lord, that you desire us to experience. And Lord, please help us to not get distracted and to remember that we are just pilgrims. It's okay to be different, that we may not lose heart when we're confronted or persecuted or mocked. Lord, none of that compares to the glory that we will one day have, Lord, when we see you face to face and we're complete in you. And so, Lord, may we just be encouraged this evening just to take hold of these truths. Thank you, Lord. Just going to take a minute and allow you to just, you and Jesus, allow him to speak to your heart. If you do need prayer, there will be gals on the sides available for that.
Yours to control, that's instead. Yours to control, give you my strength.
I just want to keep going and going. I want to take those words and hide them in my heart and meditate on them. I hope you feel the same. I'd like to be in each of your groups tonight to hear the discussion. I think it's going to be great. Just have a few announcements to make before you go to your groups. The webcast, we finally figured it out. If you'd like to listen to it live, you just go to the Calvary Vista homepage, and it says right there, listen live on Monday nights. You can do that. And if you'd like to go to the archive Bible studies, you can go to the women's webpage. Homepage on our homepage. That doesn't make sense. Go to the homepage, click on Women's Ministry, go to Bible Studies, and it says Hope in Action across the top, and you can just click on that, and you can get to any of the studies. And also, just a reminder that, and it's, I think it's very applicable, because as we walk this walk, as we want to consecrate our lives to the Lord and give Him everything, we're going to experience warfare. So we have we're hosting the Warfare Conference on February 17th, and there are flyers out on the table, and you can register online, and for more information there's a number to call. And a little reminder that as you come in the building and leave the building, especially during the evenings, if you could please just go out the main entrance. The doors after hours are locked in such a way that if you go out, they don't close automatically, and we don't really have enough people to check on that. So if you could please just go out the main entrance. And also, if you're new to the study tonight, or if you haven't yet registered, you can also meet at the table outside after in just a couple minutes, and someone will be there to meet you, and we'll put you in a group. And I know you're going to be blessed. The prayer team will be available in just a moment over here on the left side if anyone has a prayer need and you'd just like to meet with a lady before going to your group. And so now you're excused to your groups. Enjoy.